In the late 1980s, one of my seminary professors, Dr. Wayne Oates, who you've heard me refer to before, wrote a book that was entitled Behind the Masks. In the book, Dr. Oates describes some of the ways we hide our true selves, some of the masks we choose to wear in life to cover up what's really happening in our lives. The masks are meant to protect us, but what he says is often the masks become ways of life, habits, destructive patterns of living, and they often cause pain and heartache in our lives. It's an interesting book, and I've always wanted to preach a series of sermons on this book. So back in 2019, I was kind of mapping out some of my sermons, and I thought, you know, fall of 2021 would be a good time to preach about masks. You've already seen, well before COVID, I think God was laughing and said, Kevin, you think you want to preach about masks in 2021? You have no idea what is about to happen. Well, this sermon has nothing to do with the masks we wear today due to a virus. Its purpose is something very different. Listen to these words written by Tina Williamson. She writes, "We all wear masks. What mask do you wear? How do you feel about the face you are portraying to the world? Are you truly yourself? Do you feel that you can be you no matter what social situation you are in?" She continues, "In your mind, gather up everyone you know and put them in a room, friends, families, coworkers, acquaintances. Everyone is mingling together, mask perfectly in place. But then imagine a strong wind gust sweeps through and blows off everyone's mask. It's mayhem. Faces are exposed, maybe for the first time, wrinkles and all. Now imagine that instead of using this vulnerability against one another, you patted each other on the back. You encouraged the uniqueness you see in each other. You supported each other. Why are we so afraid, she asked, to be authentic?" She ends with these words, "The epic performance we do every day with our masks on is a huge drain on our minds, our bodies, and our souls. It is hard to constantly pretend to be or to feel that you are someone else. It is very draining to regularly act like you feel one way when you really feel another." Someone else wrote these words, "We are all performing all the time. We pretend to have it all together, that everything is perfect. All the masks we wear usually have fake smiles." She says, "I look at my own profile on social media, and I feel shameful at the facade I too am portraying. I am such a fraud," she writes. "My life is far from perfect, far from the rosy picture I've posted, and knowing that causes my self-esteem to be shattered around me because I feel as though my life should be perfect right now because everyone else's seems to be." Of course, the truth is no one's life is perfect. We all wear masks. What mask do you wear? For the next few weeks, I want you to think with me about some of the masks we wear, some of the not so healthy ways we have developed of coping with life. Our goal is not only to learn about the mask, but to learn what does the Bible say to us about how God would rather us live. Some of the masks that we discuss, you will undoubtedly recognize in your own life. Other masks may not relate to you, but you will recognize them in your family and in your friends. This morning, we focus on the mask of dependence. Listen or follow along as we read our text for this morning, Matthew chapter 25, starting in verse 14. It's a familiar text, a parable from Jesus. Listen to these words. Jesus, talking to his disciples, says, "Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one, he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went off on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned to settle accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other five. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid. And I went and hid your gold in the ground. See, here it is, what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked and lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have even what they have will be taken away from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This text is familiar. We call it the parable of the talents. Sometimes with this text, we focus on the first two servants, probably most common at a funeral. When a faithful Christian dies, we may often hear the minister or family member say, and quote the master, well done, thy good and faithful servant. But it's probably more common for us to focus on that third servant, the one who received 1 talent and hid that talent in the ground. And if we are honest, we probably judge that servant harshly, critically. After all, that's what the master did in our text for today. The master called this servant wicked and lazy. The servant becomes a poster child, an example, if you will, of someone who seems to have shallow faith, of someone who seems to have little initiative in matters of faith. Now, for all we know, this servant was lazy. For all we know, this servant may well have been wicked, as the master said. That may have been the truth. But as we listen to the servant's own words, sounds like he was frightened, confused, terrified, and uncertain about what to do in this situation. If we put his dilemma in our current context, we could easily say this servant was having what we would call today a panic attack. Listen to his own words. I knew you were a hard man, he said to the master, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid. That's why I hid the talent in the ground. That's why I buried it there. I didn't want to lose it. And see, here it is. I didn't lose anything. I was just afraid. Dr. Oates points to this third servant as someone who wore the mask of dependence. What do I mean by that? The servant was afraid. His terror impaired his judgment. So his method of coping in this situation was to put on a mask of dependence. His mask portrayed to the world his inability to take initiative and to do the things that needed to be done in this situation. His fear immobilized him. Let me ask you, what comes to mind for you when you think of a being that is dependent? Maybe an infant? A human baby is one of the most helpless creatures in all the world. Human infants are completely dependent upon others, in fact, much longer than most other animal babies. One person has written, the lengthened time period calls for parental guidance for up to 18 years and often longer. The goal of parenting then is to provide an environment where children can learn to stand on their own, to become their own person. But here's the reality. Many people get stuck in that stage of dependence. Sometimes we never move beyond that stage. Sometimes we wear that mask for many more years. We develop a pattern of relying upon others in an unhealthy way to function. Here's a description of a person who wears the mask of dependence. The person is generally likable and friendly, but he or she always seems to be helpless. The dependent person seems so helpless that we often get caught in a trap of always bending over backwards to help the person in their time of need. The dependent person has a difficult time making decisions. Like the third servant in our parable for today, the dependent person will say, I just don't know what to do. Can you decide for me? And when there's no one there to decide, no one to help, they take what they have and bury it in a hole, hoping and praying that the problem will just go away. The dependent person sees that good is always outside of themselves. And the only way they can access this good is to find someone else or something else that is good that they can take into their lives. Dependent people usually perceive themselves as weak, as fragile, as ineffective. They lack confidence in their own judgments. They belittle their own attitude and their own skills. Do you see why the servant buried the talent? He didn't believe in himself. He didn't think he could do what the master needed him to do. Dependent people do not see themselves as being made in the image of God. They don't understand they are a child of God for whom Christ died. They don't see themselves as someone who has been given spiritual gifts from God to be used. They have a low sense of self-worth. They are overcome with constant anxiety. You remember what we read earlier from Proverbs. Anxiety weighs down the heart. That is what happens to the dependent person. They look to others as superior to themselves. People wearing this mask of dependence don't seem to have much initiative. They can't seem to follow through. If you are the parent of someone who wears a dependent mask, parent of a child, teenager, young adult, then you know that that child, regardless of age, expects you to make decisions for them, expects you to indulge them with money and housing and food and other basic necessities. In some cases, they simply do not feel capable of doing these things themselves. If you are a coworker of a dependent person, you see that person as unreliable. He or she is constantly waiting for someone to tell them what to do and how to do it. And they will do only what they're told, but little more. And you are constantly picking up the slack. Initiative is missing from the dependent person. They abdicate responsibility. In many ways, wearing this mask is a spiritual issue. People often put on this mask when they don't recognize their own value. They diminish their own sense of uniqueness. They don't recognize the talents and the gifts that God has given to them. So they wear a mask of dependence on other people as a coping mechanism for their anxiety and their fear. So what can we do if we or if someone we know wears this mask of dependence? How can we help ourselves or someone else? Well, let me say clearly this morning that there are no simple or easy fixes to the issues we'll talk about. But through faith and through a journey with God, we can learn what life is like to live differently. One thing we can do is to try to see the world from a different perspective. If we ourselves wear this mask of dependence, one of the things we can do is to recognize that our view of the world is often wrong. We are often seeing the world incorrectly, and to recognize that and understand that can be a helpful place for us to begin. If we are working with a friend, a family member, a loved one who wears this mask of dependence, we can try to see the world through that person's eyes. Think about this. If one of the other two servants had recognized what was happening with the third servant in this parable, they could have helped that person. It's so easy to judge someone else who is in a panic situation. But our calling is to offer grace. Trying to genuinely understand what the person is going through before casting them aside is a great first step. Looking for a different perspective, we can also affirm God-given gifts and strengths. From a spiritual perspective, people who wear the mask of dependence do not recognize or accept that they have been given gifts and abilities from God. That denial, just like the third servant in our text for today, means their gifts lie buried in their dependence upon other people. If that person is us, we can begin to focus on our strengths and not our weaknesses. We can try to believe and ask God for the grace to believe that we are valuable people with skills and giftedness that God has given to us. If it's someone else in our lives, we can believe in others even when they do not believe in themselves. Isn't that what Jesus constantly did in his ministry? He believed in other people even when they did not believe in themselves. He believed in his disciples even when they doubted themselves. He believed in the thief on the cross even when no one else, including the thief himself, believed in himself. Jesus believed in the woman accused of adultery when she didn't believe in herself and everyone around her was ready to cast stones. Jesus believed in the crippled man whom he healed who didn't even know his name. Jesus believed in Nicodemus, who doubted whether or not he was good enough to be loved by God. You see, ultimately, there is a strong spiritual need for someone who wears the mask of dependence. And we know so many people who wear it. Maybe we ourselves do. Believing in themselves is rooted in understanding how much God loves them and how special they are. Unique they are in the sight of God. You see, I think the biggest issue for the third servant in our parable for today was that he had the wrong view of the master. He only saw the master as judgmental, harsh, critical. If only he understood how much the master loved him, maybe he would have been willing to risk something and put his talent to work. He just didn't believe how much the master loved him. And maybe, just maybe, you struggle with the same thing. Struggle believing in how much God loves you. The good news of the New Testament is that God's grace is always enough. God's grace is always enough, even when we don't believe in ourselves, even when our family and friends, they don't believe in themselves. God's grace is enough. We can become God's grace to another person. We all know, especially on this day, the world is a tough and difficult place to live. Some people, some of us, cope with this difficult world by covering themselves with a mask of dependence upon others. But God loves us. If you wear this mask, know that God loves you. If someone in your family or your friends wears this mask, let them know God loves them. God believes in those who have become dependent because God made them and created them. Here's the truth. Every day, God invites us and others to take off our masks. Every day, God invites us to say yes to what God wants for our lives. Every day, God invites us to help other people to remove the unhealthy mask in their lives. God offers us this invitation every single day of our lives, and God wants us to accept it, not to live with overwhelming anxiety or uncertainty. Again, I invite you to remember what was written in Proverbs. Anxiety weighs down the heart, but a kind word cheers it up. Some days we feel too busy, too distracted to believe it ourselves or to help others believe in God's love. Some days we feel too dirty. We feel too guilty. But living behind masks, it is not abundant life. It is not a life of grace. So listen, hear God's calling. Take off your masks. Come home. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, in this difficult world, we so often try desperately to find ways to cope, ways to deal with what we do not understand and what overwhelms us with anxiety and fear. Lord, help us to trust not in the things of this world, but in how much you love us. Help us to place our lives into your hands. Take our lives. May they be consecrated and committed to your love and grace. And help us to remove all of those unhealthy patterns in our lives so that we may truly experience your mercy and your love, and especially your grace. For we make this our prayer in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.